Blog Talk Radio.
Have I heard you say,
all of the money?
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Center Stage. I'm Gary Hines, your host. For the love of money, will the Clippers team continue to play for racist team owner like Donald Sterling? That's the question tonight, y'all. Or is this something that blacks across the country, across the world, deal with every day? Do we work for racist people and know that they're racist and continue to work for them because we know we got to make a living? So is this whole thing being blown out of proportion? Or should we all be concerned that someone made a racist comment in the privacy of their own home or wherever they were, unbeknownst to them, being recorded? So are we being hypocritical tonight as we look on Donald Sterling and call him a racist? Or should he be banned from the NBA for life and fined $2.5 million for the comment that he made in private to his girlfriend? Those are just some of the things we're going to be looking at as far as this controversy is concerned. We're going to play that tape in just a little bit. But, you know, it clearly seems to me he was not aware that he was being recorded. And so I just wonder, and as I thought about this over this last week, I say things. You probably say things. I'm sure we all say things in the privacy of our own homes or vehicles or amongst people that we consider friends or family that we wouldn't want repeated. So do we really want to open a can of worms and say that we're going to be responsible at all times because someone may at some point come back and play a tape of something that we said when we did not know that we were being recorded? So tonight I began to struggle with that this week, and I began to think the NSA is spying on all of us. You know, they're recording our houses and our phone conversations. And do we want somebody to pull up a tape someday of some conversation that we had in private? So that's just some of what we're going to look at tonight. But tonight, I'm not going to be winging in on all of this by myself. I got some smart people on deck tonight. Of course, AJ Houston is in the building. Christopher Bonds is not with us tonight, and we are missing him and praying that he is doing well. He's working tonight and could not be with us, so we look forward to Christopher coming back on board in just a couple of weeks, but he's got a lot of things that he's tying up on his job in this next couple of weeks. But in his seat tonight, we got Mr. Terrence Lewis and Gwen Samuels weighing in. And I don't recognize you all's numbers on the board, so y'all going to have to flash them for me. I see one hand raised, but I'm waiting on a second guest, so somebody else is on this board that's supposed to be weighing in with me tonight. If you would just press one on the board, and that will let me know that you're one of my guests. Good evening, AJ. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Terry? What's up? How you doing?
Listen, I'm good. I've just been struggling this week. I was like, listen, I say a whole bunch of stuff in the course of a week, and I don't know, you know, I'm going to be more careful now, but if somebody was to go back and play something that I said when I thought I was talking to someone in private, you know, maybe I wouldn't, you know, want it replayed to the world. So are we being a little hypocritical tonight when we're calling, or everybody's calling, the world is calling Donald Sterling a racist? Are we being a little hypocritical?
Well, I didn't struggle at all, Carrie. I think I got some answers for you. They might not like them, but I'm ready.
Oh, okay, 716-603. Good evening. You're on Center Stage. I don't know if this is Don's number or if this is Terrence. Terrence, is that you?
No, this is Chris Stevenson.
Oh, Chris Stevenson, good evening. Chris Stevenson is on deck tonight. Chris Stevenson with the Buffalo Bullet joined us. Gwen Samuels, is that you at 203-443?
Yes, it is.
Good evening. How you doing? Okay, this last line better
right.
be. I'm good. This last line better be Terrence Lewis. Terrence Lewis, good evening. 609-394? Okay. I'm sorry. Terrence Lewis has not made it with us yet. Okay. So you all have, you know, been privy to what's been going on this week. If y'all want, I can play the tape now, or if you all like to weigh in before I play the tape, we can do it that way. But if the tape is 9 minutes long. Who was that said something?
That was me, AJ. I was saying, I think we ought to start off the tape and I guess be on the same subject after that, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, because, you know, for anybody who hadn't heard the tape, you know, they may not understand what I'm talking about. George, it had to have been under rock this week. So I'm gonna try to pull up this tape, and I just want you all to be aware that this is obviously, from what I'm understanding, Donald Sterling, owner of the L.A. Clippers, his girlfriend, and obviously there's a third person in the room, from what I'm understanding, that was recording. So that's what we're going to be listening to, is Donald Sterling's talking to his girlfriend, and here we go.
The color of my skin
is an issue. What's the issue? The issue is we don't have to broadcast.
I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that aren't true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Pictures with minorities. Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What is
it? People steal things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got that whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You're...
You can't be flexible. You can...
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised, and that's your culture, and I'm respectful. And
well, why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are...
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
What, by walking, and you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. You have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Well,
and you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate towards black people?
I don't want you to have hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately. In your whole life, every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But they're not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram? And why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games?
I really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly. And it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about it.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. You didn't like someone that I was with. I would stop seeing that person.
I'm sorry, I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's something wrong with you or your skin color? Why are you saying these things? To upset me?
Sweetie, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us. Everything you say to me is so painful. Do I want you to change the color of your skin? You know how to really hurt somebody. And just instead of saying, I understand.
I don't understand how you can have so much hate towards minorities.
I don't have any hate on nothing.
I cannot understand.
Why would you say anything?
How a person like you who's elevated, who's here, still feels above the world, and you can't even be seen with someone in which is considered of a different skin color.
They can be with me all day long and all night long.
I can't believe that a man who's educated, a man who's a scholar, a man who's...
Well, believe it and stop talking about it. Let's finish our discussion with a period, okay? You're not making any good points. You can't believe this man. That's all I ask. I'm not a good person in your eyes. If I was a good person, you would say, I can't believe this. I can't believe that.
What am I
but they're all lies. I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from
there's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagram, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
You're just a big fighter. I could see. Who would want to live with a woman like you? Who would want to live with a woman? All you ever wanted to do was fight. You're a born fighter.
I'm sorry that you're mad.
You have the worst mouth.
Why are you so angry? What's wrong?
Well, why would you bring up Larry Bird? What has he got to do with it? You can walk all night long with your sisters and your family.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I've finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admired.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that you're too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Beat him. Him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
I don't know him personally.
Please leave me alone, please, please.
I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
No, you could never make me feel better. You're just a fighter, you know.
Okay, y'all. That's the tape. My question before we all start is was he set up, first of all? And you know, you cannot make somebody say those kind of things if it's not in him. So you can't bring out anything but what's in him. But at the same time, was he set up? Because it almost seems like from the beginning, it seems like he was just kind of led into the questioning. And AJ, you and I weighed in on this. Did it kind of seem like he was set up?
Well, Carrie, I think he was given the opportunity to say the N-word about 15 times because she kept bringing it in. And he never did. So she was trying to make sure he said some derogative things because she said, well, you know, because I know he said the conversation was over about four or five times and she would pause and say, why do you hate minorities? And he kept saying, I don't hate them. See, I was looking at this as though a husband and wife is talking about the mother-in-law. And what don't hate the mother-in-law?
Right.
So if the mother-in-law got the tape on the conversation I had, you know she would never come back to your house?
Yeah. And I'm agreeing. But it just, Gwen, was he set up?
It clearly sounds like he was baited, right? So whatever was in her mind, this day was planned or this moment was planned or they've had this conversation one too many times and she felt, you know what, I got to record this just in case we break up or something. So, okay.
But if it was for a blackmail moment, she sure lost out unless TMZ was going to be playing the blackmail because obviously, you know, TMZ is the big winner in this and Donald Sterling and her both are the losers.
But she's really not the loser.
Huh?
She's really not the loser. I say she's really not the loser.
Right.
How come?
No.
Obviously she's not going to be on his payroll any longer or
I think he was telling her that it's over already.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to work. So to me, it was her whole card to get whatever she could do or to destroy him. Because in every relationship, the person to hang with you, no one would destroy you more than you know what would destroy you.
Right. I think she wanted to be relevant. She wanted to make sure she was relevant, right? And so no matter what, where she goes now, she will be that lady in history. Right, that the NBA commissioners had to take on an issue that had national impact. So she'll be in the history book.
Well, I hope she gets that $2.5 million they find it in for. Chris Stevenson, what are your thoughts?
Well, this girl, whatever her name is, whoever she is, she's got some. I don't know what's in her bloodstream, but she's got some Kim Kardashian. You know, airheadedness flowing through her bloodstream, I know that. As far as Mr. Sterling is concerned, you know, you hear the line where he says, I feel that way so strongly.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically saying, I can't stand those blacks. I feel, you know, he's real sensitive. He's extremely sensitive about it, you know. He's busting the gasket. This is a disturbed man. He's detached from reality. I mean, come on, he picks a black girl and won't recognize that she's black. He's a Jew. If you go further on in the conversation, you hear that he's saying, hey, well, the white Israelis don't like them.
Right.
Therefore, I'm not trying to change the world. This is a culture. So, you know, they don't like them. I don't like them. They treat the black Jews
like
dirt. Yeah, that was his justification for not liking them. You know, he's saying, in other words, I'm not going to be a leader, I'm going to be a follower. And that's just the way it is. So both of them have some, they have issues. She obviously wants him for the money. He wants her, you know, she's a, you know, an attractive young, non-white.
Did he want to pass her off as a delicate white girl or a delicate Latino, as he put it, as what do you call it, Latino? Is that what he was trying to do, pass her off? And so she was embarrassing him by being being associated with or being around black people, which maybe would make people question, is she black?
But I want to say something.
There's no such thing as a delicate black girl, for one thing.
Now I wanted to say something to Christopher first because the one point I don't agree on is I don't agree that he was saying what you just said. I think he was telling her. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? He's a racist for sure. There's no problem. But he was telling her, based on her Instagram account, I don't want you associating them with, because she's associated with him, and now she's having black people on her Instagram account. That was the initial conversation, and that's what this whole conversation is about.
Mm-hmm. I see the Don Sterlings. Well, we see the Don Sterlings in our communities, right? So to him, he was a plaything. There was no value. She was no value to him. Now, he didn't mind paying for what he wanted.
Yeah.
But there's no mistake about it. And I'm hard-pressed to believe that those in the Clipper circles interact, right? His stripes, that thing was embedded, right?
Yeah.
That was out of the heart. That's why I wasn't angry. He was calm in what he was saying. His demeanor was saying, that is my position, and it hasn't changed for decades. So it's hard-pressed to believe that those in his circles did nothing.
I agree completely, yeah. But I'm saying I think that they knew he was who he was long before this incident. When Kareem Jabbar was talking about there was a coach on the staff that had cancer, and he told the coach that his medical insurance didn't cover cancer. And Jabbar didn't say so. I'm thinking that the coach had to be white, but players got together and paid for the surgery. But
Elgin sued him later.
But I'm saying, but all these things occurred, so to hold him, see, I don't really think this conversation that he had with her is the matter. I think they never had precedence to bring up his past to meet his present. So now I think we're holding him hostage for his past and the present for this particular conversation.
But we also have to hold ourselves to a standard. Yeah. We have to hold ourselves.
Let me go to the phone line and make sure this is Mr. Terrence Lewis on the line. 850-527. Is that Terrence Lewis?
Oh, yes, it is. How are you?
Fine, Terrence. How you doing?
I am great. I'm in the kitchen, so I hope y'all can. I hope y'all can hear me. So,
don't be rather no pots and pans.
Like
we'll be okay with you being in the kitchen. What did you think of the tape?
To be honest with you, I thought it was funny. It was absolutely comical because me and a couple of friends of mine, we laughed about it because these are some of the things that I have been taught since. As far as how racism works since I was a teenager. I mean, it's pretty much textbook. There's really nothing else more to add to it. But what I will say is, as far as I think I heard one of your guests say that the girl, she's losing or she's winning. She's actually not winning. She's losing. Because I have a lot of friends that play professional sports, specifically football more than anything else.
Okay.
And females like that are passed around. So what happens is, and I guarantee you this is what happened. He probably was getting ready to cut her off. She had a trump card to play, and I guarantee you she probably never looked in the direction of a dark-skinned fellow, whether he was Indian, whether he was
–
she probably turned her nose up at individuals like that due to the fact that she knew she had to play the game. So once – that went out the window, she decided she wanted to buck. Now, what happens now is because she's not in the I just call it basically the Sally Hemings complex or the Olivia Pope complex for those who don't know what I'm talking about with Campbell. She's not playing the good Sally Hemings role now. So what's going to happen is instead of Donald Sterling saying, hey, I'm through with her, next owner, hey, she's a pretty good girl. You'll take care of her. She's going to play by the rules. She's a good girl. She doesn't go out. She's not flashy. She's not trying to look for attention. She's going to do what you want her to do. That's about it. She can't do that now, so she's cut off, which is one of the reasons why his wife is actually suing her for whatever he bought her, because she knew what was going on, and she knew the drill. She knew this was a girl. I mean, whether you think she's pretty or not, I mean, that remains to be seen. I got to tell you, she has the look that most L.A. girls are looking to get when you're trying to get ahead. So the wife just took it as, okay, I have an old fool of a husband. He wants this little young girl. Of course, I'm not old. He can have his little fun as long as he doesn't get too stupid. Problem is, he got more stupid than she thought. And so that's why she's involved in the whole situation. Not far
just would embarrass the whole family.
Yeah, it's basically the whole family. It's how it is when you pretty much have the type of resources that he has, and he's at the level that he has. See, that's why if you pay attention, like if anybody's noticed, a lot of the owners did not want Mark Cuban in the league as an owner. Because Mark Cuban came up, he made his millions and billions via technology. Technology doesn't necessarily see color. Technology just sees ones and zeros. You see binary information. That's how they look at it. Either you're stupid or you're dumb. I mean, either you're smart or you're dumb. So that's how he made his money. And, of course, they're like, we don't want this new age white guy coming in that likes everybody. That's not going to work.
And I'm
going to
talk about Mark Cuban in a little while, because if Mark Cuban makes one comment, and I think he has, but I just didn't have time to research it for the show, about that this guy should be ousted, I am on record as he is the biggest hypocrite owner in the league.
What reason did you say?
That, several years ago, 2009, the 2009, the Mavericks were playing the Denver Nuggets. Kenyon Martin's mother and Mark Cuban had words after Mark Cuban called Kenyon a thug and a punk on the floor one night. The next day, Mark Cuban went on Twitter, and on Twitter he made a comment. He put a tweet out there, and the tweet said, I hope you come in your mother's mouth, because all you niggas point shaved. Now, y'all, I'm not telling anybody what I heard. I saw this with my own eyes. I called Mark Cuban on it. I tweeted him, and I told everybody on Twitter, every Mavericks fan, every player, an apology. I then tweeted his attorney brother the same tweet. Within minutes, Mark Cuban removed that tweet from Twitter. And then the next 2 days later, Twitter came out and changed the whole rules about you can't, some kind of way, I don't remember exactly how it went, but you're not supposed to be able to read somebody's tweets if they're not following you or if you're not following them, that type of thing. But I don't think it stuck because you still read his tweets. You remember, does anybody remember that?
I don't remember that, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, look, trust me, y'all, all of this happened. And I was just a few minutes ago trying to dig through my emails because I have it in an email where I copied it and pasted it, and I even sent the tweet to John McKay, who is a newscaster here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's like, can you believe that Mark Cuban said this? And if anybody knows John McKay, he's very neutral, very center of the road. He don't know controversy. And he didn't want to get in it, so he was like, I don't think maybe he said it. I think maybe he was just reposting something. You know, he just kind of one of those people that was like, I don't want to get in it. And so, and nobody did anything, but Mark Cuban did that. And I have it, and I'm going to find the tweet. But my point is, that would be hypocritical. This man actually used the N-word. For us to go and say, okay, this guy said in private, in essence, I'm a racist and I don't really like to associate with black people, never use the N-word. But he has been fined $2.5 million and banned from the league for life. It's just hypocritical. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, but, you know, I'm just saying it's just not fair. Does that make sense to anybody, or am I rambling? Does it make sense?
So, if you see that again, put it on paint. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Capture that on paint. Before, mm-hmm. So that even if they take it down, you got it on record.
I'm going to do that.
Well, snapshot, one of those snapshot things. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
You do what, Gwen?
Oh, yeah.
One of those snapshot, those snippet things, you can actually snap it right in its current state.
I'm going to find the tweet tonight because I don't want to get called on it. And you know what? Mark Cuban and his attorney brother both know this happened. And several other people that were on Twitter with me at the time that were followers on Twitter saw this. So this isn't like he can go back to what nobody else thought. I'm sure everybody who was on Twitter at that point that was following Mark Cuban or happened to be looking at Mark Cuban's page saw that. So it's not going to be something he can say, well, nobody saw that, but trust me, there was a lot of people that saw that tweet. Now, should he have ever gotten that angry where he would make a comment that foul? Absolutely not. So, you know, when you look at this situation with Donald Sterling clearly is, AJ said, is a racist. I believe that. But at the same time, I think if you penalize one, you got to get everybody.
Right.
Clean house. I mean, but that's just kind of like getting Bernie Madoff when every bank is stealing from all of us, and they only get Bernie Madoff.
But
does anybody follow that?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that his girlfriend is the new Monica Lewinsky.
Ooh.
Her Monica kept the dress long after, just for blackmail, just in case.
Yeah.
And nobody's bringing up Mitt Romney. He said the most vile things you could ever say, and nobody held him accountable. He still ran for president. He didn't make it.
I think what I see in this is selective singling out, because I'm with whoever that made that comment earlier. There's no way that the organization didn't know this man was a racist. You know, I
yes.
believe the players knew, I believe administration knew, and I believe the coaches knew. And for the Clippers organization to say, oh, wow, we're shocked and we're hurt, oh, come on, y'all. I don't
believe
that.
Well, that's why they're trying to hold him hostage now for his past and the present, because this is the only time they can get him. He beat all the court cases.
Exactly.
And
when we talk about court, what was the issue with the rental properties?
He was a slumlord. And he didn't want to rent the blacks.
Okay.
Well, then if he was a slumlord, then so we don't want him renting the blacks then, because our babies would be in them houses. So he can be a slumlord. He ain't got to rent the blacks. I'm okay with that.
But see,
yeah,
sure.
the problem was it was what they could afford.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So we end up being a slum, right. It's just a shame because our babies, this set precedent in a lot of arenas, though. Because, you know, our young people, like, we look at, their aspirations to be in sports, right? So the country was watching this, but not just, you know, the older ones who were out there, but the young black males, right? Our young people were watching this, and they were watching, like me. I was watching for a few reasons. Because I want to see how you were going to address, like you said, it was private, but nonetheless it was an issue of racism. And when we look at education, when we look at how our children are being treated, and we turning blind eyes to crumbling schools, to failing things, to systems not working, to NAACP taking grants, showing people on racism and giving awards, all this whole crazy mess. So it's like these double standards going on.
NAACP and that Lifetime Achievement Award that they were just about to give Donald Sterling. Chris Stevenson, didn't you all cover that in the Buffalo Bullet?
Yeah, the thing about it, that Lifetime Achievement Award, and I think Jamel Hill from ESPN, she said it best. She said, you know, because I guess he was going to get a second or third Lifetime Achievement Award. She says, how can you get that when you only get one lifetime? You know, here's an open racist. This is a guy who, you know, this is not just a case of him saying things in the privacy of his home. He has a history of acting on his opinions, you know, and this is just another, even though, yes, this girl set him up, he has a record. This didn't surprise anybody in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, really?
No, they, you know.
So everybody in Los Angeles knew that Donald Sterling was a racist billionaire.
Yeah.
A billionaire.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Even here in New York State, Donald Trump's a racist. He had the same type of thing going on decades ago. You know, they didn't like to, they're real estate people, you know, the Trumps. They didn't, they banned blacks from, being in their more affluent, you know, if you had the money to afford to live in some of their condos or whatever, they would not allow you in, you know. So it is what it is.
See, this is the thing. I think Shelly Sterling is a hypocrite too. Shelly Sterling actually came out this week and tried to distance herself from her husband and was like, listen, I'm not a racist, and I don't agree with what he said. And so, you know, I'm just going to take his seat at the game since he's not going to be there no more with his little cute girlfriend. But at the same time, history showed that she had been a part of this slump about this harassment toward tenants. She was posing as inspectors, government inspectors, and going in and harassing tenants. You know,
but
they were
Kelly,
sued for this. So these people are crazy. I mean, I'm just saying.
But Kerry, one thing I thought about after we talked, thought about is how, you know, I'm not saying it's a woman thing, but men can kind of make the women do stuff like rob banks and do other stuff because listen to the whole conversation. And I'm not saying this is the case, But I'm saying we are talking about this man and his girlfriend in the public eye, and now we're talking about his wife. So just imagine the dichotomy.
Right.
Okay.
So how can he be with his girlfriend in the public and she know about it? So there's some things that she's made concessions with.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And I didn't understand the wife anyway, because, first of all, they're married. You let him openly come to the game with his girlfriend? I mean, I'm not saying you got to go up there and start shooting the place up, but that just wouldn't happen on my watch. I mean, like, listen, we're going to go ahead and divorce, or we're going to make this settlement, or we're going to do whatever, but you're not going to openly embarrass me. You know, if you want to do what you do, then let's, you know, part ways. So why was she allowing him to do that to her?
The same way are we all, by those who knew this turned a blind eye. He was a man with a long checkbook, right? And so people didn't, and morals didn't matter. Ethics didn't matter. She's not going to divorce. Why am I going to divorce him? I still get all this and then some. He could sit with his lady, embarrass himself. She didn't bother her, just like the NAACP and just like those who knew. They turned the blind eye when it became a national thing, then all of a sudden we were outraged. But as long as it was silent, just continue to write your checks, Dr. Sterling. You can call me the N-word all day long. Just add a couple of zeros, and thank you very much.
And, you know, that's why I opened with the song Money, 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 because, you know, Lil Wayne came out this week. You know, Lil Wayne making plenty of money, and, you know, he came out, he and Snoop Dogg, and they really, they really tore into Sterling. And Lil Wayne made the comment. He said, you know, now, pay attention, y'all, this coming from Lil Wayne. He said, you know, F the Clippers owner, and basically he said that the fans should basically, they shouldn't be fans anymore. He said the current Clipper players, he wouldn't play for them anymore. He said that he wouldn't accept any apology. There wouldn't be a team meeting, any team camaraderie, any of that that would help. He said pride and respect isn't a team sport. And then he went on to say those are things you are supposed to have within yourself. And so basically he was telling them to walk away. You know, I mean, you know, have more pride and respect about yourself. And the thing is, do we as black people deal with this every day? I mean, I know in my lifetime I've worked for plenty of racists, but I had to make the decision, you know, at the end of the day, was I going to allow someone who was racist to keep a paycheck? So I don't know if we're really looking at this the right way. Should the Clippers walk off their job because their bosses are racist when most of us are probably, in fact, working for racists? That's crazy. Your dentist is probably a racist. The grocer is probably a racist. The sheriff is probably a racist.
Little Wayne, can I real quick?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
The thing about it is that's one of the reasons that a lot of individuals speak very highly on economic and financial independence, because if we're talking about the normal everyday person who's, let's say, making $30,000 a year, $60,000 a year, $70,000 a year, you have 2-3 kids, stuff like that, okay, there's some merit to that. But when we're talking about individuals who are making, let's be clear, the average salary, the base salary in the NBA is $300,000 a year. The average salary in the NBA as a whole, we're looking at about $2 to $2.5 million a year. So the problem is that if you make that type of coin and you are unable to walk away, and let's say on the Clippers team, I know for a fact, and if I'm not mistaken, the average salary, we're looking at about $10 million a year. If you're not able to walk away and the average salary on that team is $10 million a year,
We have an issue.
Yeah, the average salary on the Clippers team is $10 million, because when you add in Blake Griffin, and like I said, this is the whole median altogether. When you average it all together, it may even be more when you average Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, because those are the big money owners. I mean, even, what's my man's name, played at Duke, the white guy, the only white guy on the team. He makes $7 million
a year. Wow.
And he doesn't even start. Oh, my God, three-point shoot. I can't remember his name. But he makes $7 million a year. So if you can't walk away making $7 million a year with your dignity, and you don't have any reserves. Because John Sally gave an interview a little while ago, and he was advising a couple of current and former NBA players. He said, well, I'm working with my financial advisor. We can get it to where when you have X amount of dollars, I think $2 or $3 million in an untouchable account, if you can live off $25,000 a month, you'll be okay. He literally said, there were guys coming at me and said, what do you mean live off $25,000 a month? I need more than that.
Wow.
There are people who make $25,000 a year in salary.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another perspective like this as you're speaking about that, because remember when Don Sterling said, I feed them, I clothe them, I buy them house. And I had several 17-year-olds. It was several 17-year-old, 16-year-old black males. We were all watching it. But we were discussing it from, like, the economic perspective because I know those players are working for the Clippers. So I'm trying to figure out how he thought, well, that he gave them a job means he bought those things for him because we were talking about economics and working. So I had to make some clarity, the clarifying statement says, no, I don't think he gave them anything. They're working for their money. Their work is through basketball. You know, so I wasn't quite sure. But this whole thing, you know, we just had to pay attention to our young people who are seeing this and what messages that we're saying to them.
Lil Wayne has been banned from different arenas and different places. So for him to be the spokesperson of anything, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it. Because my son, you know, I had my son to listen to it again because the problem I had is I was hearing the masses take everything out of context and then everybody began to sing along as though they were singing the same song. My problem was when you hear something, have your own opinion of the matter and state your own opinion when asked. You don't have to agree with everybody what everybody says. That doesn't make a conversation.
Right.
But see, you know what the thing is, to piggyback off what Taryn said, I think you have to remember most people making $35,000 a year are living above their means. So you can only imagine people who are making $2.5 million a year are probably still living above their means. And so when people say walk away, you're probably so far in debt, how do you do that?
Were I a professional athlete, I think, and this is my own, I wouldn't really spend my salary, okay, especially if I'm making millions a year. I would probably spend a salary I'd make on endorsements, okay? You know, you can have the nice house and a couple of nice cars, a nice sedan and a nice sports car. What more do you need? Really?
Until you've been up there with people who have everything, it's easy to say that. But if everybody has 3 or 4 houses and cars and maids and servants and yard people and this and that, you know, you got to feel like, I guess if you don't know who you are, you're not grounded when you go in the league, you probably feel like you got to go in trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, the Joneses.
And I'll tell you another thing, too.
You play for the NBA, you are the Joneses now.
No. If you go into the NBA as a rookie, let's just say, you are not the Joneses. Yeah. The people you playing with are the Joneses. If you go into the NBA right now, rookie, Kobe Bryant is the Joneses. That's what I mean.
Yeah, well,
Kobe Bryant was always the Joneses.
But I'm just saying, when you say, you know, you're the Joneses to your family and your friends because they don't have what you have, but those people that you're playing with every day, they got more than you got. Kobe's been in the league for a minute.
Right.
I mean, Dirk Nowitzki has been in the league for a minute. So those people, you're going in and you're seeing how they're living, and you're trying to put yourself in a position that you look like you're doing like them, which is crazy because, again, keeping up with the Joneses on any level is crazy, or trying to keep up with the Joneses on any level is crazy, period.
What happened to just being thankful for being there? You know, that's the basic thing.
I think we lost that mentality when we moved on the other side of the tracks.
I'm kind of wondering for Terrence and Chris. I think you, one of you said you work with some NFL players. So has there been for those who work in this industry, has there been conversations about people rethinking, you know, so that when these issues come again, like you said, you can't walk away, right? Our savings and looking at our finances in a different way. Has there been more conversations on the ground about looking at their at people looking at their money now? So, you know, because they can't walk away from some things. And so, you know, and being in the position to walk away, right? And so do you think there's been more discussions about finances and things like that going on since this occurred, or no, all about race?
I guess if you're referring to me, I don't work with them. I just grew up with a ton of them,
okay.
Oddly enough. But and I've been around a lot of stuff. Let's put it this way. They do blanket symposiums and quote-unquote classes and things like that, and it's really basic stuff. There's two things that we're battling here. Most of the individuals that are coming into that type of money, a lot of these kids are coming from the hood. And again, I grew up with them, so I came from that same environment. Now, there's this thing that the mentality is, especially when you're young and black, This thing is always going to be that you're going to combat is that the white man's water is wetter. So it doesn't really matter who's going to give you the water. If this particular individual is going to give you this, give you that, then you're going to hold more, you're going to have more credence for it or give more emphasis to it due to the fact that it's coming from this particular white guy because you're not going to see that coming from a black guy every single day. So let's say if you have an individual who's a black guy, who's a financial advisor, he's been doing it for, let's say, 30-plus years. He's giving you information the way you would understand it as if he's speaking to you on the block. That individual who's from that hood will still not listen to you because he's still fascinated by the individual who's using these fancy words that he does not understand. So, therefore, he will go in blind.
Right.
He will go in blind, not understanding anything, and listening to this white guy. And I'll tell you another thing: a lot of people don't understand. Half of the individuals who get drafted in just about, and I can speak specifically in football, a lot of those guys are in debt before they even get drafted, even if they're high draft picks.
I believe
that. Wow.
A lot of them are because this is what I can tell you. I'll give you a specific example. I had a friend, 2000. He went to Auburn University. He left school early, junior year. He was projected to be a mid to lower round draft pick. So draft day comes around. He what happened was he got an agent. I was on my brother's porch one day, and we were just hanging out talking. I was playing my nephew. We see a black Navigator pull up, brand new, shiny black Navigator, tinted windows, rims, everything. My friend gets out. Hey, what's going on, la, 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 this and this and this and that. Hey, man, what's going on? Oh, this is my new truck. Hey. Now, after that, draft comes by. He doesn't get drafted.
Mm.
So we're like, oh, okay. But this was the thing. This is what happened. He was given an offer. They weren't going to draft him, but they were going to sign him as a free agent at the time. And this was the year that they were going into the year the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl. He decided to not sign because he wasn't drafted and did not want to play the position they wanted him to play. Who does that? I don't know. Who does that? I don't know. And he literally just about 3 years ago has come to terms with talking about it now because he thinks that was the dumbest thing he ever done, but I was like, why didn't you think about that then? But he was already in debt. He was already indebted to the agent who leased the car for him. So he I don't know if he's finally paid it off now, but
right.
Even then they give these guys fake Rolex watches that are not paid for, and when the guys go into the place these high end watch stores and high end malls to go get them repaired, the guys can't repair them because they're not real watches, they're not real Rolexes, they're not real Breitlings, they're not real Bulova's.
Oh.
I mean these guys are basically made fools of because they don't know.
Wow.
And another thing is, to be honest with you, a lot of guys just don't want to know. They just want people to do.
Right.
You know what?
Your profession is reactive.
And I'm going to piggyback on what he just said, because Magic, if you go and listen to the tape of what Magic said about this, Magic, you can tell, was very naive when he first met Don Sterling. He said Don Sterling was one of the first people that he met. And he said, I went to his parties, I broke bread with this man. This man used to ask for my advice about his players. And it seems like Magic Johnson is genuinely hurt because he thought Sterling wasn't a racist. And so I think they all go into the league very naively, you know, I mean, because you can't know what you don't know. And I think they go in and everything that they're told they believe until they learn otherwise. And it's been this many years later, just now figuring out Sterling wasn't what he thought, you know, he was. And so Magic is people that's calling for the fans to boycott, you know, the games. And he's also, you know, calling for the NBA to
– You can stop it.
And calling for the NBA to force him out. And so, you know, I think all of the celebs, in my opinion, I think they're hurt, the black celebs. This is my opinion. I think they're hurt because I think when you get to a certain level money-wise, I think right. you feel like you're one of them. And whether that's right or wrong, I just think it's just a mindset. And I think it's kind of like if I have achieved what you have achieved or – I'm as successful, I feel, as you are. Shouldn't we be on the same level playing field?
But
are y'all feeling some of that when you hear Snoop Dogg? And we're going to play Snoop Dogg's rant in a minute. Snoop Dogg was pissed off. I mean, he was pissed off. And I think where all that comes from Lil Wayne and Snoop Dogg and Magic, is we are successful black people. We ain't just black people, and you don't even want us at your games. I think that's what I'm hearing. Is anybody else hearing that?
But I don't think there's any difference across the medium, because you've heard Congress and representatives call the president everything but the N-word.
You know.
So now we're shocked about something else. I think we need to quit being alarmed and quit being reactive and start doing some things about it. And this, what they're doing is not doing anything about it. This has just been a reaction.
Picture, let's say if one of us was owned an NHL team, and we had a black wife with a white girlfriend. And she's taking pictures of white guys on Instagram. We say, okay, don't bring any white guys to this hockey game. Okay, how retarded would that sound? All right, and it goes deeper than just race with Sterling. The man is just intrinsically dumb. Okay,
right.
Might be a smart businessman, but he is socially a moron.
But it says to me, in this country, if you have a certain amount of money, people will just look over all your faults. I mean, seriously, it just seems like, they said he got mad at his attorney one time and took the gum out of his mouth and threw it at him. You know, he and his wife have been, being mean to their tenant. You know, he was mean to his player, and he was sued on both instances. That says to me this man had a history. But because he was who he was and because he was established and because he had a certain status in the community, all of that was just overlooked. Period.
But Terry, you know how happy the slaves were just to be in the big house?
Okay, AJ.
It's laughable, but this is a real question. This is the real situation that we're talking about. I really don't want to go there. I'm saying because when you look at it, you're invited to this place you were never invited to, not because of your status. It's because, not because of the time, not because we've elevated our ability to be unified as a human being or a human body of people. This is just you're invited because you're now the specimen that I'm showing off, although you don't know you're the specimen that I'm showing off.
Exactly. You know what? That's so good.
Go ahead, Gwen.
I mean, I'm looking at this, and this is why we need, you know, as I'm listening to the young men on the phone and I'm looking at these players and, you know, it's important for them to get them into the communities and share their experiences and teach some of these skills so that we won't be crushed when he doesn't like me, because he don't have to like me, right, and that you are valuable. So they have a commodity. So this man saw a commodity. And I will pay you for that service. And, you know, and to be able to say, so I wouldn't expect them to give up. I wouldn't have left either. He had to leave. But the sad part about it was, but it was still a flawed due process, if you will, because it was a private piece. and I believe we were being hypocritical because we work with racist people all day. And, again, I want to go back to some of the conditions that we send our kids, and our kids are trying to be some people they are not to assimilate. They're thinking they have to be a certain way to be valued. And so I think we can bring some of these players and young men like you on the phone can bring some of these conversations to the community and start to work with our young people and help build them up so that when they see the Donald Sterlings of the world, it's okay. I play for you. You pay me. It's business. We don't got to break bread together. We have to do nothing. Just make sure my money is right. I provide good service. You pay me accordingly. We won't get caught up in it. And, you know, and hopefully to a place we don't have to work for the Don Sterling. But if they occur,
and you know what, I think you're making a good point. We got to stop being naive on this. I mean, we are turning the world upside down because one white billionaire said what he said, like AJ said. He never even said the N-word. You know, I don't know, you know, to be honest with you, who are we fooling? We're living in a world where we have been treated this way from the time I got here, and it was happening long before I got here. But we're acting like we're not working for racist people, that we're not doing business with racist companies. This is crazy. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Sterling ought to get a pass, but I think when they get Sterling, they need to go down the row and get all the rest of them too. I mean, if we start cleaning the house, get everybody. But just to get him and ban him and go ahead, AJ.
I work for an auto factory, and before I got there, years before, a close friend of mine, he was like the first black, at least at the time he got there. And what they did with him is they hung a noose, they made it very visible to him, and that noose hung there for like 5 days. None of the bosses or anybody took it down.
Wow.
So that was their way of welcoming him to the company. So yeah, we work around Donald Sterling. We work a lot of us for low profile Donald Sterling, you know, and they it is what it is, you know, in terms of ownership. You know, if the guys who own or run the company allow this to happen, they're just as bad as the guys who put the noose up there. We're no different from those guys, those players on the Clippers in many respects.
But because what made it easy to work for races is they declared corporations a people.
Right, right. Wow.
So who owns most of the corporations?
Who owns most of the corporations?
Now I'm saying when they said the corporations a people, that gave them an upper hand so they can be this group can be an individual over you to keep you where you are and set these policies to where they make all the money, and they can cut the staff, they can cut the workers to increase their profitability.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So people are holding on to jobs like it's a lifeline.
I'm sorry, if you go back to the education piece, I was thinking about the young man you said with the navigator. Now, if he had the right circle about him, he can take that negative experience and do a whole circuit tour on the exploitation, right? He can become the brand of how our young people, you know, come out of high school. So he could have made a living just on that experience to teach other people, right? But without that right circle to take your negative experience and make it a positive one and learn how to market ourselves, that is a story about that young man. Instead of him looking at us that as a bad experience, now he paid off this navigator. You know, he could have found this, you know, especially all this happened with the NCAA and all these young people being exploited, everyone else getting paid but them, they can't take money and all this stuff, unionized, all this stuff is happening, and our young people are graduating every day, so, you know, the pick is small of who make the draft, but nonetheless, you know, education, I still think it's the foundation to all of this, so that whatever situation we're going into it, we're going in wide-eyed open, tough-skinned, and resilient, you know, not wearing it on our shoulder and letting people define who we are.
Let me respond to that real quick.
Go ahead, Terrence.
I want to respond to that real quick. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Gwen.
Gwen Samuel.
Yes.
Okay. I understand what you're saying about the education piece. The problem is with a lot of these guys, and I have more stories than just him. When these guys they go, and there was a piece that HBO did, and my honey actually recorded it for me, and she's like, I thought you would like this. And it's something that I have been saying for years, and I've noticed this, which is one of the reasons I stopped participating in athletics. When you go there to become educated, because this is the thing that happens first, you're not there to be educated. You're there to perform. That's what you are. So when these guys get there, they're not going – the average black athlete, non-female black athlete that goes to one of these big-time FBS schools, what they're considered now, you are not. And they actually have this and it was on Brian Gumbel's Real Sports, and this one lady at the University of North Carolina actually talked about this. They have a format or a formula that they're going to have certain athletes, when they come in, major in certain things. Now, with black athletes and the dumb white boys that come in and play, I can give you the rundown of what they major in. And this is what they major in, and I promise you can look this up. They're going to major in African-American studies. They're going to major in sociology. They're going to major in general studies. They're going to major in liberal arts. They're going to major in at Florida State. There was one guy who majored in housing. I never knew that was a – and I went to Florida State, and I never knew there was a major called housing. But that's neither here nor there. You're going to major in I'm forgetting three more. I think I said sociology. Social work. Social work is another one.
Kinesiology.
Yes. These are all majors that are not substantial majors that you can actually go out, learn skills, and change the world. So, for instance, if you want to go in and major in biology, and I actually had a friend, and we were science nerds, and this was an actual conversation. I was in on this conversation. What do you want to major in, son? And 9 times out of 10, especially football, guy's white guy. Yeah, son, what do you think you want to major in? Actual conversation. Coach, I was thinking about majoring in biology. You think you're gonna be able to keep up with the workload for studying and the playbook? You think you're gonna be able to do that? So automatically they're entering in doubt in your mind. So you're already behind the eight ball because a lot of these guys, again, they're coming from the hood, so they already think they're not as smart as the white kids who grew up on the right side of the tracks, who, quote-unquote, right side of the tracks, who took all these honor courses, not to mention those same white guys took all these honor courses, can't spell when they get to college. They don't tell you that, though.
But, isn't that political science one of those fields that they kind of throw you into?
What's that?
Isn't political science one of those degrees they just kind of give you?
No. Honestly, because there's a little bit too much going on there too. Because when you think about it, how many athletes you know are politically literate?
Okay.
I played sports, and when I was going to college, my major was architecture engineering, and they were really trying to discourage me from doing that.
Yeah.
See, there you go. See, yeah. what he just said, because of his major, art anything that has to do with the sciences or mathematics. Those are things that can allow someone to go back to the community that's something substantial that say, hey, even though I didn't make it and I'm not making these millions and millions of dollars, I have this skill set that not only I can be a sought-after individual for a company, I can actually be a company or entity myself. They don't want that stuff to go back.
Let me switch gears for a second, because I got one question. And this one is by them, because it ties into what he's saying. When Sterling kept referring to the culture, did anybody understand that they have a certain language that they speak that's unspoken, where you do certain things or act accordingly because that's just the way it is, and when you're black, you are not a part of that? Did anybody get that but me?
Absolutely. Nobody got that. And that's why that chick is never going to be dating another billionaire again, because she did not adhere to the cultural rules and the language that they speak, even though she was privy to that information.
Because he seemed to be talking to her in a code that she didn't seem to get, or if she did get, she was playing him off like she didn't get it. But he was basically saying to her, we have a certain culture, black people have a certain culture, and Latinos have a certain culture. And in my culture, we don't intermingle with black people. And if you don't get that – can't help you. It almost seemed like he was saying, I got to distance myself from you because you ain't going to never fit into this circle if you can't get the basics. And the basics is my
that,
doesn't allow this.
That.
Is that the, did I write that down or is that the way?
Be stupid.
Did what?
He actually said that to her. He said, you must be stupid.
He did say that.
I mean, it was pretty obvious. I mean, if you're not speaking this language, then you're not in. And like I said, he figured that she was in. He figured that she had been around and had been his pet long enough to know what the drill was. And she knew what the drill was. It was basically a setup.
And you're right about these cultures and these codes, right? Because you ever hear about the police department talking about codes? And I'm in education reform, so I'm an education advocate for the parents and children and young people. And you get these codes. And I notice that even when you're trying to fight to get children of color into, you know, advanced placement classes, right, to think higher of them and challenge them to take those architectural classes that you would discourage to take science and your math. And it seems to be, and I get this all the time, Ms. Samuel, look, lady, you don't know the culture here. Y'all are supposed to not take these things, and if you keep bucking us against the system, we're going to show you better than we can tell you what the culture is here. So
and that's exactly what she was bucking.
Codes.
She was bucking the system, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, and that's what's going to happen. And you're right, she's going to feel it, but that's why she said, I better get all I can get, how much publicity I can, and maybe sell my story to the TMZs or whoever, because you're right, she's not getting there another one.
And the thing is, I think that's why I was shocked by the celebs that seemed to be so upset, because I thought, it seems like they thought that the code was broken when they reached a certain dollar amount. Like, you know, excuse me, I'm making $50 million a year, or I'm making $20 million a year. I'm just as good as you are. When they didn't understand that the code was unspoken, but it was really understood that color, it ain't about color. So you can make all the money that you want. Your color ain't going to never get you in. It's going to be about the fact that you got enough money and you're the right color. Because black ain't the color.
Yep. And you know what? What you said about, to go back on what you said about Magic Johnson, I believe Magic Johnson did know. Because people forget that he was drafted in 1979. So, I mean, a lot of attitudes was pretty out in the open during those days. So he knew. The thing about it is he felt like he, like you said, he got to this point to where everybody says, oh, he's this beloved businessman. He's the spokesman on HIV/AIDS and la, 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 la. I think he was upset at the fact that this guy still looks at him as a nigga. That's just what it comes down to.
And I have to say that, Magic, if you ever hear the tape, but I really do feel like it was, that's really what it's about. And I think to all black people, I don't care what level you reach, it's kind of like when Oprah, love you to death, Oprah, but when Oprah went out of the country and she went to that very bougie boutique that time and she tried to get in after it was closed. And they wouldn't let her in. I'm not laughing at you, Oprah. I'm laughing with you. But at the same time, she couldn't understand, how can you not know I'm Oprah? And I think it was because she was trying to say to them, I got more money. I can buy this shop. But that didn't even matter. They were saying, you are the wrong
person
to open the door.
But Carrie, even that instance didn't matter until it was put in public. That's what I'm saying. See, we are noisemakers. We're noisemakers. We're not activists. We're not doing anything to change anything. We wait to make a noise, hope everybody sing along. And I think that's what this should teach us. This should teach us that there's things happening that we can address now, even though we may not be able to change it at this instance, but make some noise about it. That's what this whole issue is about, because they're holding him hostage in the present for his past atrocities. And I understand that. That doesn't make it right, because, you know, you would hold Mitt Romney accountable, you would hold all these other people accountable that said all these bad things about the president, all these bad things about us, that we just let slide because we didn't think we had enough noise or a big enough voice for anybody to hear.
Right. Wow.
I agree.
We're gonna listen
to what Snoop said. Snoop is so hot on this video. I'm like, wow, Snoop. You really took it personal. And I'm not sure why Snoop got this mad, but I think it's just because of what I just said. Now, listen to how
he thought he arrived, right?
Message to the motherfucker that owned the Clippers. You bitch-ass, redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker. Fuck you. your mama and everything connected to you, you racist piece of shit. Fuck you.
I'm sorry. That's kind of... Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear Snoop?
He said, no, he heard he wasn't equal. He said all his money, all his day, he wasn't there.
No, he said, I changed my name to Snoop Lion because I thought we was hanging out.
You know, he's going to learn today. That's what it is. He learned that day, and that's why he got shot. Kevin Hart came all up in there. You're going to learn today. That's what Donald Trump said. You're going to learn today, y'all. All y'all. All you all.
I spent all that money to sit next to you at the game, and you felt that way about me? I'm not the average black person. And I'm not laughing at y'all. I'm laughing with y'all. All y'all so glad to have made it. You know, power to the people. But I think what I'm saying is it's a certain level you can't even get to because it's not going to even matter. There is no level with them. When you get through, you're still black. You're still black.
No, your money green. You're black, but your money green. Just fill the seats up. Just not y'all, but fill the seats
but
up.
But see, Terry, truth of the matter is this. In a nutshell, when you look around at everybody that's elevating themselves, they're elevating their race.
Mm.
When we look around at the black people, and when we're elevating, each individual is elevating themselves to where they think they should be with everybody else, but they're leaving their race behind. So now when you figure out that you've left your race behind and you think your race is with you, but they kind of forgot who you were because when you moved out of the community, you didn't come back and participate within the realms of this community that you say you were trying to help build. But now you want the community behind you, that goes the problem. But I'm saying, see, until we actually build ourselves up as a unit, we will still be individuals against this system.
What was your name again? That was, oh, my, what was your name?
My name is AJ Houston.
Oh, that's AJ. Okay, yes, that's what it was. They forgot, the people forgot. And then we see that with lawmakers, right, these elected officials. Who get in the office and the first time they hit a scandal or hit a bump in the road, they go to the very community. I need you to support me because my peers pushed me out. But you pushed them out when you thought you arrived into those lawmakers' tent. We died.
I guess in the sentence, Carrie, hanging would get you hanged.
Yo, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you because
I'm saying that's the truth of the matter. Because when you're hanging with people that's not for you, don't have your support, ain't got your back, we'll get you hung. Because that's what we do. We want to reach these circles that we can hang with these people and say we're in these circles. But we forget that none of the people that we were with is in the circle with us. We're with all these aliens, all these other people, all these different people that we don't even know. We just think. Mm-hmm. That we fit because we have economic status as they do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make
us. You can live in your neighborhood.
We can
buy expensive bottles of wine or close down a restaurant when we want to go in. We can do all of that, but we still ain't accepted.
But we don't own the winery. We don't own the winery.
Right. Very good.
Yo, we're going to listen to Lil Wayne. Just 2 minutes and 27 seconds, but it's just amazing how hot these celebs are with him. I mean, this is just amazing.
This is dedicated to motherfucking Donald Sterling. First of all, I'm going to sum it up for everybody that I believe feel this way. I'm going to sum it up for everybody on my side of the field, on my side of the gate. I think you know what I mean when I say that. Fuck you. That simple. That easy. If I was a Clipper fan, I wouldn't be one anymore. It's that simple. But if I was a Clipper player, a current Clipper player, you wouldn't see me on the court anymore in that uniform. An apology wouldn't do for me. It wouldn't work for me. A team meeting wouldn't work for me. Locker room camaraderie, that wouldn't work for me. I'd stand up for myself. And I'd understand that pride and respect isn't a team sport. Those are the things you're supposed to have within yourself. pride and respect. And then as a Clipper player, with pride and respect, I'd understand that the person that owns the team that I'm playing for has no respect for me, or my people, or my kind, and has no pride. And I'm out here busting my ass every night to win for the team that would only make Donald Sterling happier, richer. Nah, if I was a current Clipper, I wouldn't be anymore. Purple and yellow, Nick.
Okay, y'all. He said purple
but
and yellow, y'all.
He's speaking double standards, though. Right.
Okay.
I think he's speaking double standards. He's talking about, he talks about he's representing his people, right? So he's clearly talking community. He's clearly talking unity. And then he says, you know, then we have to have the individual pride. Yes, I have individual pride, but it would be that unity. It would be the camaraderie, the working together to help us get through this moment, right, this point in time. So I see the village coming into play, you know, and so I don't know. So I kind of got, you know, unless he's just, you know, I just saw it as kind of some double standards there because I just felt the community.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But my thing is I can't sit down and listen to a rant by somebody that always talks about bitches and hoes and sex. Now you want to talk to me about some conscious what?
And the N-word. And the N-word.
No, but I'm saying the N-word is, you know, here not that. But I'm saying, talking about bitches and hoes and sex, and that's what you're trying to sell our kids. But now you want to talk positive, though. You're trying to sell our kids some positives. I can't relate. You can't be on both sides of the track at the same time. Because the reason Sterling has all this money is because of what he's selling. Same thing
right.
Lil Wayne is selling. Same thing Snoop Dogg is selling. Same thing all these people are selling, but we don't want to look at it that way. But that, in essence, that's what it is. Until we actually sell something worthwhile, create something in our communities that we can sell, create a viable product that we are the creators of, we can sit down and have all these conversations and talk about how wrong things are, but we are the wrongest thing in the thing until we become what we say we aren't.
All right.
Okay. I think they're upset because they felt like they had established themselves long enough. It wasn't like they're some fly-by-night entertainers. Snoop Dogg is well-established in his profession, and so is Lil Wayne. And I think they buy tickets to games like the Clippers, and they go to parties where people like this are. I think they buy homes in neighborhoods and do business with people, you know, at that level, and they just felt like, how dare this person who we thought accepted us clearly in private is showing he don't like us at all as a people, period. So ain't no amount of money I'm ever gonna make me okay with him. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's really what it was all about. So, you know, was it a double standard if you're selling, you know, your people out when you're talking about your women and putting down material in your music? I don't know. But I ain't talking about it. I'm not talking about anybody specifically. I'm just making a point that we as a people gotta realize that it ain't about nobody accepting us. Because if you're going around looking for every white person to accept you, you're defeated when you go in. First of all,
absolutely,
you establish yourself as who you are, and you're grounded no matter what level of success you have. If you never get a platinum record, you know what I'm saying, or if you get 20 platinum records, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go in asking anybody to approve, you know, you or somebody to accept you, because when you do that, you already set yourself up. You'll always be angry. You'll always find somebody that don't like you. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to put it on record. This is how I feel about what Donald Sterling said. I am one of the few people who can appreciate what he said, because I'm one of the few people who can deal with the Klan as long as they ain't wearing their sheets. If I know that the person sitting across me is a Klan member and he can look me in my eye and tell me that I'm a Klan, a member and I hate black people, I can deal with you because I can understand who my enemy is and I know how he thinks. But on the other hand, if he's a Klan member and he's out marching with his sheets on, but, you know, that's on the weekend, and then on Monday he's my boss and I don't know it, then I'm upset. So I think we're looking at it wrong. Whenever your enemy identifies itself, they've done you a favor. That's just me.
I agree. I have to agree with you there because I work around education reform, trying to change the public policy that cripples our community. And Martin Luther King, people like to quote him to make him feel good, but I quote him because he lived this journey, right? He lived these experiences we're still experiencing. And Martin Luther King said, the law can't make a man love you, but it can stop him from lynching you. And that's a pretty important thing. Right? So I'm not trying. Look, I don't expect me working out here is going to make these people like me. But you won't stop lynching me. You won't stop messing with our babies. So I need to know. So don't wear your sheet. Let's agree to disagree. I respect you and you don't. You ain't violate nothing. And let's all stay in love and war. So that's just how my position is. I ain't trying to use this. No, we got to make people.
And see, I agree with both of y'all. I guess my point is this, that in this America where we have freedom of speech, only the LGBTs can say something about the LGBTs. Only the blacks can say something about the blacks. Anybody else say it, they are automatically called out.
You know.
But I'm saying even if it's just an opinion. So my thing about the Sterling thing is he has had that opinion since he bought the Clippers.
You know.
Nothing's changed.
Yep.
So now we're acting like something has to change, but we didn't act like something has to change when we knew about all these other instances.
Right.
True.
Very good.
You got to remember, Sterling told, and I think there's some noise in your background, Terrence, but I think Sterling told the girl, if y'all remember, and I'm looking for the exact quote, he told her, see, he said, you're an enemy to me. And he told her that she was an enemy to him because she couldn't understand how the racist code went, the culture code. He kept trying to explain it to her, and she kept acting like, or maybe she did. Maybe she was stupid. He said she was stupid. I don't know. But he said, maybe you're stupid. But when she pretended she couldn't understand what the culture code was, he said, then you're an enemy to me. You see what I'm saying? So take it any way you want. To me, he's saying either you're in and you play this game the way we play it, or you're an enemy. So I don't know. I consider Sterling, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I don't believe that he's an enemy based on the way that he said that. You know what I'm saying? You're an enemy because you don't understand that black people don't get into this circle. That's just the way it is. They don't get in. And if you can't understand that, you can't roll with me.
Right. And this is serious because, I mean, this great conversation is great. And, and I always think about paying it forward, what we're going to share with the people. Because I remember, very clearly I worked with children and I was discussing equity and equality. And I brought a person that, was controversial because they believed all children would be equal. That was the controversy. And the world is saying, no, everybody got their lane. Patients, they're not supposed to be scientists, mathematicians. They're just supposed to be, whatever we say they are, not what they dream to be. And so I brought someone in, and I never forget, the next day, my job fired me. Make no mistake about it, they fired me. And they said, because you your personal advocacy. So that was personal. And so Fox News called me, and Fox News said, we would like you to tell your story. So lawyers were in the vaccine saying, look, keep her home. Keep her at home. We'll pay her what she wants. Keep her home. This is how they do us. They're saying, look, we can buy you off silence, but don't start the conversations. Don't start the people wanting to fight for equity. Keep her home. And if I tell you I didn't have tears in my eyes because I had to make a choice, and it was because I had family. I got children. And I remember I had to think, am I supposed to keep silent while they're doing our people this way? What are they doing these to this baby? Or should I just take my money and just stay home, and just act like it just happened? And I believe that we got people like that today working on these jobs. No, they doing something they ain't got no business doing. Don't know, but you want to keep the roof over their head. And I see all that, hearing the wings and everyone whispering in your ear. And I remember saying, you know what, I'm going on the show and tell the story. You're still going to pay me my money, because I knew I had the law on my side, right? And we have to own who we are, and we have to be willing to stand for what's right. And some of these things are not easy, because I have babies. My job, my legal and moral obligation to make sure my babies are safe, they have food on them tables, and hear somebody, majority, don't look like me, corporate America telling me, if you try to protect your people, I will try to snatch every crumb off your table.
Whoa.
You know, this thing is serious at what they're doing to us. So I can only imagine a dilemma. The Clippers, some of those folks, some of those sponsors, you know, some of the people who want to seek out but don't want to make their boss mad, you know. So these dilemmas are hard, but we got to either stand for something, you know, to help our, you know, our future generations, or just stop complaining then.
Can I tell you the difference between black people and white people? If this had happened to the gay and lesbian community, what is it, LGBT community, if this had happened to some white people, you know what they would have done? They wouldn't have done what Lil Wayne and Snoop Dogg did. What they would have done was they would have gathered the masses and said, okay, y'all, this is who the sponsors are. I need everybody to write them a letter. And I need everybody who's got tickets to the game not to go no more. And they would have put together a strategy to hit the Clippers so hard in the pocket that they would have forced him out because he was hurting them financially. But what do we do? Ain't nobody said nothing about boycott nobody. Ain't nobody said don't use this sponsor, that sponsor, because they sponsored the Clippers. No, no, no. All we did was like we always do. Stand on the front porch in a corner and talk about it.
I'll give you an example of what when I hadn't heard it. And so, like I said, everything you said, I absolutely agree with, Carrie, because, like I said, that's why I found it funny, because I was like, oh, man, this dude's like, he's a quintessential guy. He's like a blueprint.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, my thing was, I thought the players just shouldn't have took the court, because 80% of the NBA, player-wise, almost your personnel individuals are black.
Right.
They walk. And let's just say this. Let's just say just the components that make up Lob City walk. Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan. That's what people pay to come see. No Lob City, nobody's coming to the game. So, and what I hated, what the ex-athletes were trying to do, they were trying to take, and I noticed that they were doing this, they were taking the onus off the athlete. Dude, he's talking about you. He's talking
right.
about you. The fans are residual because, let me tell you something, when he bought the Clippers were in San Diego. I'm a hoops junkie, so I can tell y'all all this stuff. He bought them for $15
million. What's that, those
$12 million? At the very least, he will sell that team for $600 million, at the very least. So if Lob City walks, they're all endorsed by Nike. Every last one of them. So it's not like they won't have the money.
Right.
You have no product on the floor, nobody's coming to see your games. We all saw what happened with the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets had no product on the floor. What happened? They end up having to move to New Orleans, and they're barely making it. So if it could happen in Charlotte and there was no controversy, think what could happen in L.A.
Wow. See?
You know, and I agree with
you. Say what? That's serious. You know, just think about the logic. Some of this stuff is so common sense. Like you said, if three people would just say, you know what, I'm not doing this today. No, this is going to be addressed now. You're right. It would have stopped the show. It would have stopped the show. Wouldn't have been. Yeah. I'm just saying it's deep in how he put that in financial context.
Has anybody ever noticed that our black leaders never call for a boycott anymore? In the 60s, that's how we got our attention. When you treated us wrong in the 60s, we said, you know what, we're not riding that bus no more. I tell you what, we'll walk. And I think they walked for over 30 days straight. Was it 30 days, John?
We're not going to walk. We're not going to walk.
And they crippled the bus.
Right, and we're not going to, and they crippled, exactly. But we're not going to walk. We're not going to boycott Sprint. We're not going to shut no cell phones off. We're not going to not eat at the restaurant. We are not going to anything that just might put a cramp in the leg. I mean, because we are just not there. We've changed. We haven't had to sacrifice, right? McDonald's better than nothing. And so we will not sacrifice. And that's what it is. We haven't felt anything yet. They said because there's these luxuries on the table, we're just not willing to give that. Those boycotts risked their jobs, right? They had the carpool. They had to make it happen because they knew when they boycotted those buses, it was going to have an economic impact if they didn't handle business. They had to make sure the house was straight because they weren't going to be getting home all the time anymore, right? They had to adjust, and we're not willing to adjust for things to ensure our safety of our community and well-being.
I think we called for a boycott recently, and I think Jamal Bryant with the Stand Your Ground issue over there in Florida recently, Jacksonville, Florida, when they called for that boycott. But you know what? I don't hear nobody talking about it. I don't hear nobody saying, hey, we're not drinking that Florida orange juice. I don't think it went anywhere because we as a people ain't serious like that no more. Back in the day when Dr. King said we ain't riding the bus, nobody rode the bus. And so today we will talk about it. We'll Monday morning quarterback about it. We'll be on the corner talking about it on the front porch and in the barbershop. But that's far as it's going. And so
I think that's it.
That's how we're doing. I mean, and so when you look at this, I don't know that, you know, I think everybody else is more upset about it than we.
If you look at the bus boycott, the Montgomery bus boycott, if you think about it, well over 90% of the patrons, it's just like the NBA almost. Well, over 80% of the individuals who are causing teams to make money are black. Well over 90% of the individuals who are patrons to the bus system in Montgomery were black, and they didn't do it, and we saw what happened. It's the same thing, just different profession. But nobody wants to do it because nobody wants to lose that baller status. And I'm not talking about on the court. I'm talking about when we walk down into Miami, when we go into the Delano. Because I'm telling you right now, I can tell you this for a fact. If you walk into the Delano and you don't have a dime to your name, but you just look like you have money, you're going to get that attention. You don't even have to have anything. So these individuals are not only recognizable faces, they have the money to back it up because it's been publicized all through the media that they have this money.
Right.
So are you really, really, really willing to lose your jump off and your male groupies that just want to hang out with you because they know they can get the residual of whatever's coming with you because they're hanging with you? They really don't want to give that up, which tells me you're really shallow and you're really not made of anything, which goes back to, again, when we were talking about the education. These guys are not going to college to become educated. They're going to college to become acclimated. And so there's two different things behind that. So and even if they do get an education, they're still not going to do anything but become acclimated into a system and become part of the matrix. Because if you listen to all the athletes. What's that?
Now, I was going to tell Kerry, before we get so far off, everybody was talking about the bus boycott. But what everybody's leaving out is that, see, when Martin went down there, that was a decision that he was going to be in charge. So after the prerequisite number of days that they said he was going to boycott, the people were tired. But the decision was up to him. But everybody was telling him they're about to give us something, so we're going to settle for these concessions. And he had to deliberate and say, no, we're going to stick this out. But it wasn't a decision that everybody was agreeing with. See, that's what we got to talk about. See, everybody didn't agree with his decision to continue. So when history shows the picture looks good because it looked like we was all marching hand in hand. But there was an argument. That was a fight because a lot of people didn't want to walk no more. They didn't want to drive their cars 4 or 5 hours a day and not have gas and do all these other things. But when the decision was made, what it was is they stuck to the decision. That's what we have to do. We have to be in disagreement. We got to be in disarray. But we got to stick to the decision we make regardless of the outcome. That's what the best.
Right.
The success of the boycott.
They were committed.
Everybody
they were committed to the commitment.
Yeah, they were committed
to the
commitment. A lot of people didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. A lot of people
didn't. We see the results.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And see, you know what? This is the thing. Should they ban him for life for this? I mean, because when you get through, I mean, are we right? I mean, because are we penalizing him? First of all, I don't know that what we're doing is right in terms of. It's kind of like singling somebody out because, like AJ said, he never even used the N-word. It really seems like somebody set him up on the tape.
Right.
And it might sound funny coming from a black person, but I believe in fairness. And I feel like if you're going to get one, you got to get all. And so you can't single out one person for private conversation they had and then not acknowledge everybody else who's been racist. So I just, I don't know. I think we're treading on very thin ice when we start saying people can tape us in our own home, unbeknownst to us, and then release the tape, and then we're penalized for it. You know what I'm saying? Because, go ahead.
Now, I'm in agreement with you, but I'm saying we're holding him hostage. We're holding his past hostage right now for his present situation, which wasn't as worse, which wasn't even bad as his past.
Yeah.
But it was an opening. It left the door cracked, so we want to stick our foot in the door and go take over his house because of what he used to do.
And, you know, and it's very true. And you know what? And I think anybody knows, and there's a lot of people wanting to get this team now, y'all. There's Oprah, there's Diddy, there's Magic out here all throwing their hands and their hats in the ring, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, anybody knows that if a black person takes over ownership for the Clippers right now, there's no telling what kind of money is going to be made because just off of this controversy alone. So it's a win-win if a black person picks up this team. And so... Go ahead. Who said that?
Now I'm laughing because 5 years ago nobody would have bought the Clippers even if it was up for sale.
Definitely was a man with a vision. I mean, seriously. And so, you know, I don't know. We're gonna go to the phone lines. We're gonna pick up
4-3-2-7-6. But that's the only reason this happened. Somebody could have set her up to do this to make the Clippers for sale.
Listen, he's been a master plan on this thing. I mean, who knows? 843-276. Good evening.
Hey, it's Smitty. How you doing?
Hi, Smitty. T-Smitty, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Sugar Dumpling. Just another wonderful day in nice sunny Phoenix. all right. Let me go ahead and just get on some things about this. One, his words and his comments did not bother me because people's words don't bother me. His being selling out a house, the housing discrimination, and being a slumlord actually offended me more. And I remember reading about that in 2009. Well, a lot of people understand. He got sued for that in 2003, but he kept tying up a litigation for six more years. See, that's the stuff a lot of people on the show right now, but I'm talking about overall, look at my Facebook and Twitter, that a lot of black folks are missing. Words are one thing. But he used his money and his race to ruin lives. And his life was flipped. Also, Doc Rivers played for that man on the Clippers in the early 90s. But he still had a problem. They had no problem taking that money when he got that coaching job, and I didn't. He knew what that man was about. Elgin Baylor started staying that job for 20 years.
What's going on?
Elgin Baylor don't need to come crying to me either. You know? Okay. So my point is, as black people, we got to look at that the racism ain't just a color. It's a system of control. And look at what he did. He lowballed his employees, and like A.Y. Bailey, you know, he's a terrible GM, was one of the lowest paid GM by a lot. He was a slumlord. He put out so many black and Hispanic people, and I'm really more focused on black people, because on black, Mexicans got their own issues. We're all black folks. Look at what happened. And the NCAACP got bought. And they gave him the Lifetime Achievement Award. And they knew this man had a housing discrimination.
Wow.
And so my point is also, he knew he was being recorded. It came out. He knew he was being recorded. They agreed to do it. Yeah.
Wait, but he knew he was being recorded and what?
Yeah, he knew that was being recorded. Yeah. And that's whole tape was old. And see, my whole thing on the stuff being released was, you know, old B. Siviano turns 31. Gravy Train getting ready to end. Donald Sullivan probably found another 23-year-old chick. So, I'll shut up after I say this. Go on Grantland.com. Bill Simmons wrote this article that he shared a plane with those two a couple years ago. Donald Sullivan got himself a first-class ticket, but he bought her a coach ticket, and she had to keep going back and forth to see how he was doing.
She didn't let him do it like that. No.
Oh, he did it like that. Man, this guy's cheap. He is notoriously cheap. And what people understand, he bought that team for $12 million. And the NBA looked the other way when the housing discrimination stuff came up. they look the other way. The only reason media, you know, the way the internet is now, stuff gets out so fast, you can't sweep it under the rug. The only reason they're speaking out on it because the players are upset, and also the fact that it's out there for everybody. And let's one more thing. Let's be honest. All those 20, the 29 other owners that will vote to boo him, they, most of them don't want to boo him. They just doing it because it's good for business. Just think about that.
Any of y'all want to address what Colin's saying?
But if you think about it, it's kind of sounding strategic as you think about this. I mean, even though you don't want to sound like a conspiracy, right? Nick's conspiracy. But, you know, there's something here that just doesn't add up. I didn't even think of it in the context. No one said a word when this man was identified as a slumlord. And these are, you know, when I work with families who are living in houses that have lead in it and kids getting lead poisoning and no one's enforcing it and the implicate, you know, these old houses. So, and you know, trying to get these slumlords. So I got to wonder, where was the outrage when this multimillion-dollar man has slumlords? I didn't know about it till now. So he's making some good points. You got me going over here, And it's not good when I go, It's not good.
I mean, you know, I look at Sterling like this. Sterling had been so successful. It's just like so many others in this country. He was too big to fail. Our country is saying that about banks. No matter how they're screwing over all the rest of us, they're too big to fail. Sterling had reached that level that he was too big to fail. So was it somebody's strategic plan to release this tape now to oust him out of the NBA? Just saying. Because if he knew he was being recorded, what fool would have that conversation if he knew he was being recorded? Who does that?
Well, you said
as a young fool say, now, where do you do that at? That's crazy. That makes no sense. That part makes no sense to me. I did hear that there was a third party recording it, but I thought maybe it was someone that recorded it on maybe like a phone, and he didn't know he was being recorded. But it just made I would have to question why in the world would someone allow themselves to be recorded and make those kind of comments. You know, I guess it's kind of like those reality shows when you have that camera there so long you forget it's there. Did he forget that the phone or recorder was going? And that just, I don't know. He just seems like he couldn't possibly have gotten where he's gotten and understand the culture, as he calls it, and made a mistake like that.
You know what,
Carrie? I don't know. Anybody else agree with that? I just have a problem with that.
You know what I think, Carrie? Part of it is that probably he know what they're going to do to him. On Rich, they don't care about the black folks anyway. Now, if you said something about gay folks, oh, he would have lost that team. They wouldn't be no litigation. But
they'd have lit him up.
I'll bring this up. Like the NFL recently, when they let go to Sean Jackson, the Eagles, all they had to do was just say, hey, he made too much. Talking about he hung out all these gang members. And he had no gang affiliation. He was grew up in the hood, know them folks, Instagram flex. But that's the same team that gave Riley Cooper a $25 million contract. The same white wide receiver that said that I'm going to kick all these N-word asses on camera. No fine, a secret suspension. The Eagles gave him a weekend off of training camp, sensitivity training. But how many black guys got suspended for the year, but now you're being charged with a crime that's hanging out with them? And my last thing is, I wouldn't have played. To be honest with you, I would have sat out and called the NBA's bluff. That's a hostile work environment.
Yeah,
you're in the finals. You're in the finals, and you gonna say you're not gonna play?
But what nobody's brought up yet is that Golden State and the Clippers had decided if nothing happened before him, the next game they weren't playing.
Yep, I remember reading
the whole league. It was the whole league.
I don't know. I don't know. I think this thing is. Something's going on, and I have to wonder, something in the country going on that we're not aware of when we got this on the front page, and are we missing what's on page 9? Because it's just too crazy that if this conversation didn't just happen, you know, why did it just surface now? You know, who turned it over to TMZ? If he knew he was recorded, why was he so stupid to be having that conversation? You know, even though, you know, he said a couple of times on there he loved black people and he didn't have a problem with black people, you know, but at the same time he said he didn't want black people coming to his games. Now, nobody in their right mind would be a team owner and say that to a recording.
But okay, next week, I'm gonna tell you, this is a precursor. About Tuesday, a lot of stuff is gonna come out because today Donald Sterling spoke up, and the only thing he said was, "I should have paid off."
Ooh.
So wait till next week. He said, "I should have paid off." So that's a precursor to let you know that all this was definitely set up, but it doesn't matter because of the conversation in California. It is illegal to play somebody's private conversation, to record anybody's voice without them knowing it.
Mm.
So first, this whole country has made a decision on an illegally taped conversation.
That's true.
In the court of California would be found to be illegal.
Mm.
There's something else going on to this. And all I'm saying is I listen to this whole conversation. I'm listening to these positive young men on this phone. We need to figure out how we're going to, our future MBA possible, or doctors or lawyers coming up. You know, we need to be working with our young people to help them become making sure they're thinking about options so it won't get caught.
Okay, but check it out. While we got a second, my name is A.J. Houston. I'm a writer and poet. I do creative writing classes from elementary to college level, even adults. I'm in all the schools, all the colleges, talking to youth, doing everything I can do to get them to think creatively with themselves, to listen to themselves, to make them believe in themselves. So that's the first step.
Well, you coming to Connecticut, so it's okay. Just a matter of when.
Give my information. I'll travel.
Okay,
I'm going to put in contact with each other. I definitely am. I'm going to put you in contact with each other tonight. I'm going to do that. I definitely am. Because Gwen could use your services, AJ, definitely.
Some of the other young men in here, especially one who talked about economic liberties, I don't know if that was Terrence or Chris, when we were talking about
Terrence.
Chris
is in Buffalo on a different time zone. He had to cut out early, but Chris Stevenson is with the Buffalo Bullet, and Terrence Lewis is still on the line. But I'll put everybody in contact with everybody tonight. That's not a problem. I'll do that. Let me ask y'all something. My grandfather just recently died in 2012, and he was 90-ish when he died. And I remember having many conversations with my grandfather before he died, and he would say things like, white folks. It was always like he understood that black people could only go so far, and then it was white folks. Then white folks, they'll kill you. Then white folks, and is it a culture that people like my black grandfather, and people like Donald Sterling, I don't know how old he is, but is it understanding that they had, that it's just certain things you don't do. So was he, Donald Sterling, just telling his girlfriend based on an era that he came from, or is this a culture that he's currently living in, or is this just something that is rooted in him from the way he came up?
My father said there's a stop sign that say black man stop here. My father said, it ain't my grandfather, it's my father. He's still alive. He says the black people don't see. He says stop, black man stop here. He said there's a stop sign at a certain place. And he always say this. Sometimes when you get to when you see Snoop Dogg, that's why they all shocked. Because my daddy would say they didn't see the stop sign.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gwen. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's what he said. That's why they were shocked, because they thought there was no stop sign. Donald Sterling says, "Didn't you see that stop sign?" Says Negro.
You have to talk to really older people to get it. Sometimes they'll talk a language. My grandfather was smart, and he had been in business for years, but he would always talk about this like imaginary boundary that I couldn't understand. I go, "What boundary? White people don't, because I had come up in a different era, and I just wasn't afraid of white people in the way that my grandfather was. But he just felt like if you want to stay, live as long as I am, or I've been around, you just don't do certain things, and you'll be okay. And I just think, I listened to Mr. Sterling's tape several times, and it just seems like when he's referring to that culture, it's kind of like an understanding that it's a boundary, and you don't cross that boundary, and you'll be okay. And when she didn't seem to get it, as we said, he called her stupid. Okay, y'all, we're going to have to wrap it up. We're down to our last 4 minutes. Okay, guys, y'all want to close out with anything about this particular story before we leave the air tonight? Gwen, we'll start with you.
Well, it was a pleasure being on this call because you get to hear different perspectives and it helps you sometimes vet through some things. And what I'm taking away is, you know, that when these actions occur, you know, we have to be able to stand our ground, not be afraid to stand for what is right, you know. And I don't know if it's fear or the money is controlling it, but he said something profound about the march. He said something that they don't hold the line. I forgot what, you know, what he said. But, again, this was a great call, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you to help me empower and encourage these young people across this country, starting with my state and your state, to help build self-worth and self-confidence and self-esteem in our young people.
We'll definitely be working with you, Gwen. Terrence Lewis, final comment.
Yes. As always, when I do get a chance to get on, it was a good call. I'm glad I got to listen to everyone's perspective, just like what was said before. I just think when it comes to professions like athletics, I think, like we said before, we really need to teach our young kids, a lot of things. And again, it was repeated again, self-confidence, financial stability and financial independence, education, and not just from a well-established post-secondary institution,
right.
Just educating yourself. So there's just a lot of things, but again, I'm hopeful that things will change. I really am, but at the same time, I'm kind of pessimistic about it too, to be honest.
Great. Hey, Jay Houston, final comment.
Well, I really appreciate everybody being on this conversation. I enjoyed everybody's perspective on the matter. I think, in a nutshell, what we need to do is to teach our youth, but I think first we have to learn as adults.
Right.
To listen and take in the two ears what we hear and use our one mouth to say what our perception is of it and not join the choir. Because I think too often we join too many groups saying what they say even though we're not in agreement. And I think what matters is our own voice.
Mm-hmm. I agree. T. Smitty, since you're still on the line, final comment. T. Smitty?
Oh, I'm here. I had to take it at work real quick. But I was going to say is that to ask you a question earlier, first I want to say thanks for the I know I was late, but thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for letting me on everything. But I will say, don't stop being distracted. Just look up that net neutrality stuff that's going on, that big debate on that right now for the Internet, where they're trying to regulate the Internet speeds and all that stuff. Just look at that type of stuff. And I just tell the kids this. Sports is a plan B. Because you don't got a short shelf life. Stop chasing the lottery. There are so many things you can do in your life. And you see what happens now. We're depending on other people to fix situations that we should be fixing ourselves. We got to stop looking towards white people to fix our problems. We should fix our problems. That's all I have. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Listen, y'all, that's going to have to be the final comment. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight and listening as Center Stage put their spin on this Donald Sterling controversy. It's been real, y'all, and I think tonight there's been so many views on this subject. All of y'all, I mean, listen, I loved every single moment of the show, and I think we all got to stop, as AJ said, being reactionary, because this ain't new to us. And black folks been working for slave owners and racist employers and bosses for the longest time, and we're doing it even today. And so for everybody to just get all up in arms over this, I don't like what was said, but I think I can absolutely appreciate someone when they say they don't care for me, then I know how to act accordingly. Listen, y'all, we're here each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern, doing exactly what we did tonight. So tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker to tune in to Center Stage on Friday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. Also, we'd love to hear show ideas from you. Drop us a line at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. That's centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Drop us a line. Tell us the type of shows you'd like to see us do. We can't promise we'll do them all, but if it fits into the type of shows that we do do here, we will definitely consider them. Also, I'm going to close out from now on with something that I'm going to call my affirmation, my daily affirmation, and my anthem for here in Center Stage. I have been looking for one for the longest time, y'all, ever since I started this show in 2010. Never found anything that I thought completely said what I wanted to say until today. I found this. Someone posted it on Facebook and absolutely speaks to who I am. And so from now on, when I close out Center Stage every Friday night, this is exactly what I'll close out with. And y'all, it goes something like this. It says, I am loved, called, and chosen. I am rich in every way and generous on every occasion. I am anointed, appointed, equipped, and enabled by the power of God that works mightily within me. No weapon formed against me will prosper, and no enemy scheme against me will succeed. I live, breathe, and serve powerfully under the shelter of the Most High God. I love that, y'all. Until next week. See you then. Bye-bye.